Lawyers for John Walker Lind, the accused American Taliban soldier, are in federal court today for a hearing that could make or break the government's case. The central issue is whether statements Lind allegedly made to military interrogators and an FBI agent may be used against him. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
The hearing is expected to be dramatic, with the defendant likely to testify publicly for the first time. If he does take the witness stand, Lind is expected to contradict the testimony of government investigators about what he said in the course of six separate interrogations in Afghanistan and what interrogators said to him. The hearing could last many days. The story that Lind told CNN when he was captured is the same one his lawyers tell in court papers, and it is a horrific story that begins with Lind being part of a group of fighters sympathetic to the Afghan government, a group who, after days of starvation and walking to avoid the Northern Alliance they so feared, agreed to turn over their weapons in exchange for being taken to a safe haven under Taliban control. Instead, they ended up at a prison in Mazar-e Sharif, where they were held by a Northern Alliance officer named General Dostum, and where Lind was questioned by a CIA agent named Johnny Spann. Lind claims he believes Spann to be part of the Dostum forces he so feared. In any event, the prison uprising that followed put Lind in yet greater jeopardy. At the time it began, he said he and his fellow soldiers were lined up in the prison yard, and when there was an explosion, Dostum's guards began firing at the prisoners, killing many and wounding Lind in the leg. After playing dead for 12 hours, Lind was helped by his fellow soldiers into the basement, where, he says, Dostum's men tried to kill them with the most tortuous methods. First, grenades were tossed down the air shafts, then gasoline, which was lit with flames that burned many of the men alive, and finally freezing water was poured down the air shafts, drowning anyone who could not stand. Of the 300 men in the basement, say Lind's lawyers, only 85 emerged after a week. Prosecutors don't contest Lind's account of what happened to him at the hands of the Northern Alliance. The dispute starts once Lind was transferred to another location and interrogated by U.S. military personnel. Lind's lawyers contend that with the American wounded, exhausted, freezing, handcuffed, and duct-taped, nothing he said can be viewed as reliable, and that even if it were, the conditions he was in amounted to coercion. But George Washington University law professor Stephen Salzberg, author of a leading text on the criminal law, agrees with prosecutors that the coercion argument stands on a thin reed.
The law, as it's developed by the Supreme Court and lower courts, focuses on the government's action when it comes to coercion. And so the fact that someone may be feeling all kinds of pressure, may be scared, may be frightened, all that doesn't say that the government has overreached when the government seeks to interrogate someone.
Indeed, prosecutors contend that in some instances, Lind, once in U.S. custody, was better off than American soldiers in the field. Lind's lawyers will also contend in court that even if their client was not coerced, his statements to military interrogators still cannot be used because he was not given a Miranda warning. He was given a Miranda warning later when he was questioned by an FBI agent. But here there is an important factual dispute. The FBI agent says he told Lind there were no lawyers there to represent him and that if he insisted on having a lawyer, the interview would be ended. But Lind says all he was told when he asked for a lawyer was that there were none available. Again, Professor Salzberg.
So it may come down to the testimony of Lind and the agent.
At the time of his FBI interview, Lind's father had hired a lawyer to represent his son, and the lawyer was aggressively trying to get access to the prisoner. But the Supreme Court has ruled that the right to a lawyer is an individual right, and that a parent's retention of a lawyer does not require that access be granted. It may be dirty pool to keep that knowledge from a defendant, the court has said, but it is legal. However Judge T.S. Ellis rules on these and other questions, it will have an enormous impact on the trial. Stephen Salzberg.
It's a very difficult prosecution to make without using his own words against him, and particularly at the end when he purports to have said that he met with Osama bin Laden, he knew the United States was under attack, and he continued to serve. I mean, that's the most damning evidence against him.
The odds are that most, if not all, of John Walker Lind's allegedly incriminating statements will be permitted at trial. But the government has other problems. The accounts of what Lynn said to different investigators are said to differ in important ways, and the judge has indicated that the government will very likely have to let Lynn's lawyers interview prisoners at Guantanamo to find evidence that might corroborate Lynn's account. So both sides could have significant reasons to engage in plea negotiations once this hearing is over and the questions at issue are resolved. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.